Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the home front. So it's finally summer. Well, it's finally summer. So what does that mean? Today is the 24th. So 3 days into summer, and it's summer. So we really just didn't have a great spring. But summer has definitely arrived, and that's a very good thing. So another weekend, last weekend in June, and they're expecting rain. So for those of you that are going to be out doing the march and doing all of the festivities for the last weekend, I think that it's rained every Saturday, the last Saturday in June for the past, like, 6 years. So this will just follow suit. Not going to make any difference, right? Anyway, as long as it's hot, I don't care if it rains. In fact, last night I went out to dinner with a friend of mine, and the sky opened up right before I was ready to pay the meter. And I was standing under an awning with her, and we were trying really hard just to, like, let it pass. And I'm watching, and I said, oh, this is going to stop in a second. And it did. And I ran over to pay the meter, and I was, like, totally, I was fooled. And then, like, it came down like the dickens. And so I got soaked. And, you know, I wore my hair curly yesterday, so I really didn't care that much that I was getting wet, except that my skirt kind of had a thick skirt on it. It had layers. And that kind of held the damp for a while. But fabulous dinner and a really interesting evening, a very fun evening. Very packed evening, I should say. It was it was just one thing after the next. So long story end, I'm driving back, I'm on my way home, and, you know, like you see in the commercials and the movies, you know, where somebody takes your door off as you're driving. Well, I didn't lose any doors, but I never let anybody out of my car without looking, watching, and then telling them it's safe to get out of the car. Now, having said that, I guess you have the idea that there was a car and a door involved. So I'm on 10th Street, and I'm passing a cab, and I'm waiting. Actually, I waited for a little while, and then I decided I'm going to pass the cab. So as I'm passing the cab, three-quarters of the way, the passenger in the back seat opens the door into my car, and I'm only creeping. I think I was going somewhere between 3 and 5 miles an hour, so I'm going to say, let's say 4 miles an hour. So still intact. It didn't land on the ground, though I gave it quite a shove, and it did quite a number on my car. So nobody got hurt, thank God. That's more important than anything. And I have to say it was like a commercial. It was just like one of those, you know, you watch it on television, and you go, oh, yeah. But I wasn't driving fast, and nobody's car door landed on the ground, and nobody got hurt. Especially the passenger. I don't know. I have to tell you, maybe it's because I'm a driver. When I get out of a vehicle, especially if I'm in a cab, I never just open a door. I always look. So, you know, and then there's the variable. You never know if somebody comes, like, screeching down the street, and then you're in trouble. But this was not the case. I was creeping by, and the guy just opened the door into my car. Very lovely. So I, of course, called the police and then my insurance company. And after I spoke with the insurance guy, and he said to me, without doubt, without fail, I am not to blame, and their insurance will cover this. I was like, oh thank God. Okay, breath of relief there. And it couldn't happen at a better time because I'm not going to be around, so they can take my car. I won't need my car for a couple of days. So it's all good. I don't need a rental. Very funny. I think I've rented a car a lot this year. I have to say that the karma on that car, I just can't shake it. So one of these days, sooner than later, we're just going to have to say goodbye to that vehicle. Very funny, actually. And none of it's funny. It's funny, bizarre, not funny, haha. Anyway, so having said all that, I can't even tell you. There's just so many things going on. There's so much going on. And I think I already gave you my take on what we're talking about with politics and, you know, where I stand. I think everybody knows where I stand. So let's get on to better and bigger and better things. So my niece and my nephew were on their way to camp today. I didn't think anybody was finished with school until, like, the 28th. And they're on their way to camp today. So they're both CITs, and I guess they have to get there early and prepare. I never heard of this. You know, being I was a camper, and I did all that stuff, too. I don't remember having to prepare the bunks for the kids. So, I don't know. That's kind of bizarre. But anyway, so they're on their way. Actually, they should be arriving, or they should have arrived already. And so my niece is going to be gone for the entire summer. And when she gets back, we're going to go and see the King and I. And my nephew, he'll be gone. I don't know if he's going for 2 or 4 or 6, but I know he's not staying the whole summer. And she'll be there for 8 or 9 weeks. I think it's 9 weeks. Such a long time when you think about it that way, you know. But I remember my mom used to ship us off to sleepaway camp as well. You know, it's like the faster you could get them out. So you finish with school and boom, you're in summer camp. It was like as quick as you could possibly get. So I don't know. It's kind of a funny, fun thing. So I have to tell you, I got all these VIP passes for Art Hamptons this year. And I always, always get the passes. Without fail, I always get the passes. And this year, I'm not going to be around. So I've been sending them out to friends. So anybody that wants a VIP pass for the Art Hamptons, it's actually going to be like 4th of July weekend. So they're doing something. I think there's a lunch with Pollock on the 2nd or the 3rd. I'm not positive, but I have an invitation to that too. That one costs money, but I have free VIP passes for the art open. So, yeah, let me know if you need any. If anybody's interested in going, I will forward you my passes, and you can partake in the festivities. I think that Art Hamptons, when you walk in, they actually give you like a little goodie bag and free drinks. And I think the free drinks are nonstop and hors d'oeuvres on the VIP day. Now, it's really funny because I went to a few art openings this year, and I went to the VIP openings. I think I told you about the worst one, which was, it was spring, but it was freezing out. It was like one of the coldest days of spring, and it was like the line was ridiculous. So what happened to the VIP? I have no clue, because they invited everybody and their grandmother. And I always think that the idea of VIP is for press and serious collectors, and me, of course. You know, the handful of artists that are just going to look and see. But it's never any different. It's not like anything so spectacular that you're going and you're seeing something that's like earth-shattering. Wow, that's so different. In fact, the last few years, it hasn't been different at all. And this year I was so sure I was going to be in the Art Hamptons show, and then that switched. So being told yes, 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 and then at the end, oh, no, no, I changed my mind. Well, I guess that's a prerogative of everybody, right? You're allowed, you're entitled to change your mind at least once. Maybe twice. But it's just, you know, all these crazy things. You're like, okay, whatever, Becky. Just the way it goes, right? So as far as the week goes, I'd have to say with all the craziness that I've been running around like, I had a very, like, mild, kind of quiet, almost uneventful week, which is really crazy because it's really been full of events. I have an art opening on Thursday in Great Neck. I have another art opening on Tuesday in Port Washington. So anybody that's going to be around that wants to go, whether you want to hop a ride with me or meet us there, that would be fabulous. So she's going to be selling my cards and my artwork, and that all goes to the Helen Keller Foundation. Actually, it's a 50-50 split, half to Helen Keller, half to me. And yeah, so that's that story. And that's going to hang for, I believe it's an entire month, but the way it looks, it's going to be a little bit longer. And I just found out that she's got actually 8 artists in this show. So it's not a huge space. I know that I have 3 pieces in. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work out. The other show is the faculty show, which, of course, you know, faculty. If you work there, you're in the show. It's not any great stretch of the imagination. But that show will hang the entire summer until September. And prints are available, so all good, all good. And so that opening is Thursday. The other opening is Tuesday, 7 to 9 in Port Washington, and the other one is in Great Neck. So those are that's what's on the agenda at the moment. So I went to see the movie Ex Machina, and I have to tell you, I really, really enjoyed it. I went with one of my friends, one of my friend John's, and I have to say that albeit he slept through quite a bit of it, kept waking up and telling me, it's very slow. it makes me laugh. It was filmed in Norway, and I believe it was an English film, though. But it was very interesting because it's an AI, you know, interpretation where there's a twist. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's one of those things that just jived with me. I thought it was a little claustrophobic, but considering that it's in such beautiful, spread-out grounds that the guy owns so much property, I don't even know how much property, but it was supposed to be, I think they were supposed to be filming as if it was somewhere in the United States in the northwest corner. I'm not sure because I don't remember reading it if they said this is Oregon or, you know, Idaho. I don't know. But I know that when the credits came up, it was all filmed in Norway, and it was beautiful. The grounds were beautiful. But it all takes place inside of this. And I have to say, actually, the architecture of the building, although it's supposed to be, quote-unquote, like a lab, so it's not there are not a lot of windows, and it was very claustrophobic. So it's kind of sparse, the way that they set it up. But if you know anything about European architecture, the living quarters are usually the smaller spaces, and the sleeping quarters are usually smaller, and then the living quarters are usually larger. My uncle used to have a house in Briarcliff Manor that was designed by a Swiss architect, and it was one of those environmentalists back in, oh God, when was that, in the 70s, I guess, when it was like, that the architect took into account what the landscape looked like and built a house that sort of fit the landscape. So there was a tree that went right through the entranceway, and there was a cutout in the ceiling, you know, in the that's the only way I can explain it. It was built with the landscape in mind. So my cousin's bedrooms were small. They were really tiny little rooms. And the living quarters were huge open spaces. It was a really beautiful house. And it had a pool in the backyard. And the way the house was shaped, if you looked at it from above, like you look at the whole scape, it was like an O. So the house was a C shape, and the pool was a C shape facing it. So it was kind of like, not a rounded C, it was kind of a V. But the way it was broken into 3 parts rather than 2, so it was more of a C than a V. And the house was exactly the same thing, but larger. So it was like if you put your hands out and you put one hand sort of outside of the other. and that's what it looked like. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful house. They lived there for a long time. And so it was designed in the 70s. I don't remember when he bought it. I want to say they probably moved in there somewhere in the 80s. It had to be the 80s because I think I was in high school when they got the house. So, or they had it, and I just remember I was in high school, and I was, well, anyway, so I remember that we have one picture. It was a very funny picture. It's a big family picture, and I had a boyfriend with me. And so, anyway, I remember that picture in front of the pool. But it was really interesting. So getting back to the architecture, so that this one tree kind of jets out through their front porch, and, you know, you walk in, and it's small, and then it's sprawling when you get inside. It opens up. It's like the living room had an over balcony, and the ceiling in the living room was like, I don't know, 20, 25 feet, something like that. It was ridiculously high. And then there was a balcony on the other side, the landing, and then the balcony led to the bedrooms that were offshoots. And the master bedroom was off the pool. It was a really beautiful house. They lived there for a long time. And then my uncle ended up moving to California, and my aunt lived there, and then she now lives in California, and they're all done. So they don't live in that. They don't live in Briarcliff anymore. But I still have family, obviously, in Croton. So anyway, the architecture of this building is modeled like that, although it's supposed to be more of a, like I said, a facility rather than a living space. So, yeah, it was interesting. So it was a very psychological movie. It was, and you know, so my friend John kept saying, "This is a little slow." I was like, "Yeah, I know." And it was making me think about my choice in movies sometimes. I went to see that movie. It was an independent film. I can't think. Snowden. And, you know, that was a really slow movie, too. But it was all about, you know, how we are watched and infiltrated. Now, here's the interesting thing. This movie made me think of that movie quite a lot because the technician, the architect of technology in this case, what he built was a beautiful AI being. And what happens is he was pulling technology from everybody's cell phone. So, I mean, if you think that you have any privacy any which way, which I've been saying for years now, you do not. And don't be fooled, because you really don't. And now my brothers all have these cameras in their house that take pictures and watch the house, and you can watch your video, and you can stream it on your cell phone. And so now you're letting Big Brother directly into your living room. And, you know, so if you're walking around naked, they're seeing you. I don't have cameras in my house, although I have to say that I know I have a smart television, and the technology on the smart television is that it can watch you as well as you watching it. And I know that I've turned off any kind of, you know, camera. And as crazy as I am, I keep all of my computer and my laptop, my laptop and my iPad, I keep those little eyes covered. And if I'm on the phone with somebody, if I'm FaceTiming or Google Hangouts, whatever you do, I always uncover it and then they can see me. But generally speaking, I think I try to keep it all under wraps. What does that mean? That I'm a nudist at home? Maybe a little bit, but anyway, it's not about the nudity. It's really about the privacy. There you have it. So, anyway, so the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, self-image, women and their self-image. And I was driving last night prior to my little fender bender mishap and hanging out with very nice policemen, actually, and having a very nice political chat with one of them. Seemed to be on the same page politically. I thought that was interesting. And I passed this woman, and she was in a dress. She looked spectacular. She's with a guy, and I'm at a red light, and I just happened to hear a flash of their conversation. Now, I have to tell you, I do pay attention to my surroundings quite in depth. And the funny thing is that I don't always think I'm doing it, but I tend to hear everything around me. So sometimes I get a little overstimulated where I can't shut out everything around me. And I guess that works to my advantage and to my disadvantage, because it means it's very hard for me to block things out. And actually, I have a funny story for you. So here she is in this dress, and she looks spectacular, and she puts her hands on her stomach, and she said, "Well, I'm fat right now." And I'm looking at her, I'm like going, "Wow, there's not an ounce on you, and you look fabulous." And I had a friend in the car, and I said the same, "Did you hear that?" She did not. But I pointed it out, but we were already driving by. She never even looked or saw, and I was like, okay, well, whatever. But it's just about image, you know. You feel so uncomfortable. It's like all my clothes are fitting me from 2 years ago, all my summer clothing. And at the same time, I don't feel like I'm any less than I was this past summer, because last summer, I don't know what happened, but I definitely kicked it up a notch or two. And that was really funny. And apparently it's all gone, but I don't know. Maybe it was definitely not in my head. I had a few people pat me down and tell me, yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, I have a funny story for you. What can I remember? So yesterday I'm in my studio. I finished the painting that I've been working on. It's really a spontaneous painting, a mountain scene with flowers. And sort of replicated after the watercolors, but I'm doing them really large, and because I just don't feel like having all the control of doing the geometrics at the moment. I need to have a little breather. So I stopped doing the geometrics for a little bit. They're still there. I'm not going to discontinue those paintings. I just needed to put it on a little hiatus because they're very labor intensive, and sometimes I need to just break free. So, and there are other things in my mind that I need to express. Now, here's the funny thing. So the friend that I was with yesterday said to me when she saw the painting, she said, "You got a lot going on in that head of yours." I have to say that's true. But I was so in the zone, and I finished the painting, but it's not done. And it's close, but it's not done. But it's finished, if you understand that. I totally get that. So I get a knock at the door. And I answer the door, and it's a woman who's down the hall. She's a curator. And we ended up having this really long, lovely chat and, sort of impromptu, I'd say, meeting. And it was really funny because for the life of me, I was so in the zone that I couldn't place her. Like, I had absolutely there was no recognition coming. And so I said, "I'm sorry, forgive me, just tell me your name again." She told me her name. And as I'm talking to her, like all of a sudden, like all of my focus broke. And then it all came flooding back. I knew who she is. I knew where she was. I knew what she was talking about. I was totally on the same page. But it was really interesting, those few minutes. I want to say it was probably 10 minutes of like absolute a disconnect, non-recognition. And it's really interesting to me because this is something that happens to me every now and then. And it's funny because I've been told by people that are really close to me and my mother about how, whoever has me last has me. And there's a handful of things that go along with this. And one of them has to do with, I guess it's where I am when I'm creating. It's like, I got up yesterday early and I actually meditated, and it just put me in the right place. And it's funny because I was meditating every single day for a while, and then all of a sudden things got a little too harried and I was getting a little stressed. And rather than calm down, quiet myself, and meditate, I kind of went the opposite direction and kind of harried myself further. And it was really interesting. So note to self, when harried, sit down, shut up, and meditate. I guess that's the best way to put it, right? Yes, I think so. Anyway, so it was one of those interesting things. And so yesterday I got up early. Like when I woke up, instead of, you know, getting up and drinking some water or going to the bathroom or something, I just got up, made the bed, and went into the kitchen and took care of a handful of things, fed the cat, you know, put up the coffee but didn't turn on the machine. And after doing a handful of silly, mundane things, I decided to sit down while it was still really quiet and still out and meditate. And I meditated for probably 45 minutes. And I was so in the zone that when I came out of it, it was like, that was it. I was just like, done, I'm done. And I had a few epiphanies, and I like when that happens. Anyway, so I got up, I turned on the coffee, and then I cleaned my house. I, like, vacuumed, and I did all the things that I was putting off because, I don't know, because I wasn't home all day on Monday, right? Monday I took a 2.5-mile walk. I went to the dentist. I have a new dentist. He's spectacular. And so, yeah, so yay. Wow, that was so fast, 90 seconds. So I walked to the dentist. My plans were changed mid-morning, 1-2 phone call, 1-2 punch, and done. And so I ended up just taking this long, leisurely walk. And everywhere, I was just everywhere. And then I came home and, you know, I just chilled out. I didn't clean. I didn't do anything. It was just, you know, one of those crazy things where I was just sort of kind of, I don't know. But when I went to bed on Monday night, I meditated before I went to sleep, which really helped because it really put me in the quiet place, and I was able to sleep really well, and I haven't been sleeping so well. I think there's just too much going on in my head. And so when I got up yesterday morning really early and meditated again, it was just like perfect. Now, of course, I did not get up early and meditate this morning, but after yesterday's little fender bender and all the little things that happened, I have to tell you that last night going to bed, I was definitely in a harried place. So it was kind of funny. So now when I go to the studio, which I'm going to be leaving and going straight there, I have 2 meetings and then I'm going to meditate. So I guess my point, wow, 10 seconds. So my point of today is definitely take a minute for yourself and put yourself in the zone and meditate, because I have to tell you, when you quiet yourself down and you just get into that right place, it really, really does help. I promise. Anyway, so I wish everybody a happy and prideful weekend, a meaningful happiness, whatever. And thank you so much for listening. Lots going on. I hope to see you at both of my shows. One is in Great Neck on Thursday, and the other one is in Port Washington on Tuesday. And have a beautiful weekend, and thank you so much for listening. This is Lisa of The Lisa Lisa Show, signing off.